What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. I'm joined by Jenny Garner. We're at NATA 2018 in New Orleans. We are live in the Expo Center. Jenny is the regional manager for the AT Vantage, so the company that Alicia Pennington works with. She was on earlier, and we're going to discuss how one company is changing and reshaping athletic training in a state. So I know y'all are doing a lot, and I know Alicia mentioned, and she said you're going to talk a little bit more about it, but you guys have taken 11 of your jobs basically off the market because you've advocated and changed 11 and 12 of your part-time jobs, that way, kind of one of the ways that you're making income, and put them as full-time jobs for the high schools. So it's not necessarily about your company making money. It's about improving athletic training as a whole. And so we're going to talk some about that and some of the things that you guys are doing. So Jenny, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
All right. So tell me your background, athletic training, and how you got involved with AT Vantage.
So I've been an athletic trainer for 11 years now. Wow, that's kind of crazy. I started in undergrad at Upper Iowa University, and then I took a little break from the profession and served a mission for my church. And then I went straight into grad school at Southeastern Louisiana University, where I was a GA for the academic side of things, and then I helped out with a little bit of sport coverage. Once I finished with my graduate degree, we kind of bounced around a little bit and ended up in California, and I had zero connections in athletic training, which, as you know, is not easy to find a job. If you have no connections.
Correct. All right, and so I think recently in the month of May, the AT Vantage was doing some focuses on women in athletic training, and your story was one of them, right?
Yes, it was.
All right, so tell me a little bit more about that.
So I was working, I finally found a job in California working full-time in the industrial setting and was not happy. I had to commute over an hour. I was away from my daughter at the time, and I just didn't like it. So I found Alicia's posting for a part-time position that was pretty close to home and just decided to jump in and see where that took me. It was a little scary leaving full-time work at that time, but honestly, it's been the best career move I could have made.
All right, so I was talking to Ellis Mayer earlier on, Gopher Ellis, and she was saying that there's several athletic trainers that have made a good living doing part-time work. So when you made that jump from full-time industrial to part-time working with Alicia, how did that look? Was that you made enough to make it? You ended up making more? How did that look?
So at first it looked like I was going to make significantly less, but the school I was at wanted sports medicine classes taught on campus. So I was able to jump in and teach two classes of sports medicine and then be the athletic trainer in the afternoon. And they made it so that I taught fifth and sixth period and started athletic training seventh period. So I would go in about 12:30 and be on campus until 5 or 6 with that part-time athletic training contract in the afternoons. And then that ended up actually increasing, and I ended up making more within a year or so of the switching over.
And then, you know, like you said, that's a lot closer to home, something that you enjoy doing because you're working with the athletes, right? So just taking that step because of what Alicia and her company were doing.
Yeah, definitely. And that was kind of the beginning of the company and seeking out those high school contracts. And I feel like that's where we've kind of flourished, is finding districts that want to provide athletic trainers but don't have the resources to find or to provide that funding for full-time athletic trainers. So we go in and we say, okay, what are your needs? We've actually started using Max Preps to kind of gauge how many events they have on campus throughout a year. And we average 2 to 2.5 hours per event. And we tell them, for game coverage alone, this is what you're going to need hours-wise. And from there, we say, how many hours a week do you want an athletic trainer in the clinic or for other events like tournaments? And we can base an hours package on their specific needs.
Yeah, I know in one of y'all's podcasts about negotiation, it's the person with the most information usually is going to win that negotiation. So I'm personally not going to go look at Max Preps and say, okay, let me add up every single home event. But that's part of what you guys are doing. You're saying, okay, this is what what you guys expect. This is what we expect. Here's what you're going to write a contract for, this many hours. So it's really laying things out very clearly for somebody, a mom who wants to be home closer to her kid, and really creating a good opportunity.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I think it helps provide that work-life balance that oftentimes is overlooked in athletic training. It's like you want a job, you get the job, and you just have to work when they want you there.
Yeah.
And that's not fair to anyone.
All right, and so in several of your Instagram stories or in the blog posts about women that are working for AT Vantage have similar stories, right? They weren't content where they were, or they couldn't find a job and they wanted something different. So you guys say, well, here, try this. And then from there, it's grown, right?
Definitely. We cater to the people that are looking for part-time work. We don't advertise our positions as full-time and then say, oh, by the way, it's part-time. We come out and say the contract is 600 hours. It's 800 hours. An 800-hour contract averages 20 hours a week. We tell you up front so you know what you're getting into. We're not trying to hide anything because we want people looking for the type of work we're offering.
All right. So you're working at the school. They kind of increased your salary. And then how did you get to being the regional manager for AT Vantage?
So I was at the school for about 2 years, and Alicia was like, I'm moving to Arizona. I need someone with like boots on the ground to kind of keep things running in California for me. What do you think about putting in some extra hours with some administrative type work? And I was like, sure, let's go for it. And so within a year of that, I went full-time regional manager and was out of the high school contract just because some of the things conflicted with the time that I needed to be finding coverage. I was at school already. So I just transitioned straight to the regional manager position, and it's worked out well.
Yeah. So you're enjoying that aspect, the administrative part of being an athletic trainer?
I do. I never thought I would see myself in this position, but I really enjoy it. I mean, working for Alicia is amazing. She's great, and we work really well together, so that makes it even better.
Right.
I do miss the on-field aspect a little bit, so I try to pick up a few events a year to keep that aspect.
So you get first pick, you're like, oh, I'm going to take that job, we post it.
If I lived in the state, I would do that more. I actually live in Utah now, so I work remotely.
Gotcha. That's very cool. All right, so we're talking about AT Vantage, what they're doing. Talk about some of the ways that I mentioned in the beginning, the 11 or 12 jobs that have transitioned to full-time. Talk about how that logistically works for you guys.
Okay, so we take a district. One of our big districts that transitioned had, I think, 8 high schools. They kept increasing their hours with us, and we've figured out through like return on investment calculations and just the cost of paying for contract work is typically a little bit higher. We figured out that once we get to like 1,000-1,200 hours, it really doesn't benefit the district to use us anymore. They could make the district, make it a district position and have the athletic trainer on campus more for the money that they're paying the athletic trainer directly. And so we try to advocate for that when it gets to that point.
Gotcha. All right, so in those 12 positions, that's essentially what happened is, hey, you guys are using this so much, this will save you money. You guys know the benefit of athletic training, right?
Right, they already know the benefit. They've had them on campus, and we even tell the athletic trainers that have worked in the contract positions, apply when those become district positions. And we've successfully placed quite a few of the athletic trainers that were currently in our contract positions in those full-time district positions as well.
All right, so then, again, how is that? That's kind of the goal of AT Vantage is to advocate. And I know Alicia talked earlier about how you guys are moving more into the education field as a company to advocate, and I know that that's a big part of what she does and what she wants to do, but what does that look like on your end as far as saying, hey, school district, here's why this is better? I know you said return on investment. You're just basically taking the numbers and making a presentation?
Yeah, we started working with someone who's doing those calculations for us, and we bring that data back, and we make it into pretty little forms for the districts to read, because let's be honest, no one wants to read through a document. They want to see quick and dirty what they're getting for their money and how it's benefiting them. And so we can go back to those districts and say, look, this is what you're paying. This is what you could be paying a salary for a full-time athletic trainer. And this is the hours you're going to get for that full-time person as opposed to the hours you're going to get for the contract person at part-time. And they have seen the benefit, and they've transitioned those positions over to full-time district positions.
All right. So what are some of the other things that you guys are doing to help change the scene of athletic training there in California or, you know, now in Arizona?
So in California, especially, we're advocating for certified athletic trainers because everyone knows California is still fighting for licensure. And so we go into the district and we talk about the importance of the regulation, having someone who is certified. They have to meet certain requirements for the standard of practice and for continuing education. Where when you're hiring an uncertified, they're just kind of doing their own thing and they're not regulated by anyone to make sure they're staying on top of the new research coming out and the new way we should be doing things as athletic trainers.
All right, so you're going into the school board meeting and saying, hey, you should really have a certified, you know, and you have your reasons and your list. What have been some of the responses? Like in general, are they, yes, you're right, we need to keep these people accountable? Or like, but this person's cheaper and we're already on a budget crunch. What, in general, what's the response? And then where do you go from there?
So we've gotten mixed results. We have seen some of those districts that will have like one certified in the district and they'll want to transition to us and they'll say, okay, we'll make this person the district athletic trainer and all the other people that aren't certified will work under them. And we're not really into going with that route because our goal is to put certified athletic trainers in these positions because we only hire certified athletic trainers. We check BOC. We do background checks to make sure that the 7-year DOJ background is clear so that they are qualified to work in these positions and don't have anything that would prevent them from working for a district. And so sometimes we don't always end up with those contracts, but we know that we've gone in and we've educated them properly so that maybe one day they'll come back and knock on the door and say, hey, okay, we see what you were saying, and they'll move forward from there.
All right. What else? All right, so what else has been going on? I know, like, we talked about those things there where you're increasing the jobs, you're advocating with the school board. What else are y'all doing besides the CEUs, the educations, the podcast? I know that, like, have y'all been to any of the legislative things, the meetings, or organized anything, any kind of stuff there?
We haven't done that yet, but I think that's definitely something we want to jump into, to be advocating, especially in California, for that licensure. I know that when California or CATA does post things to advocate for us and the work that's going into helping to get legislation for athletic trainers, we are always reposting those things and helping advocate for those. And then, let's see.
All right. That's right. I understand. Sometimes just like I forget stuff too. You're just in listening to the conversation and you forget to whatever you're going to ask next. All right. So with the ATA Advantage, y'all are really improving the profession of athletic training in California, doing education and making changes there. So if you were to describe the company in just a few words to somebody like the elevator pitch, what would you say?
I think that we find
too many words already. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
We find quality clients that are looking for great athletic trainers to come in and make their organizations better.
Quality clients looking for great athletic trainers to improve their organization. So, all right. And then, are there any other big changes coming up that we haven't discussed?
We're looking to grow in Arizona more. We have a few contracts there, and we would love to get a few more. A need that we've seen in California recently is per diem coverage at the community college level. So we know community colleges historically are understaffed. They don't have the 5 and 6 full-time athletic trainers that the universities get. And so we have been able to get a few contracts in Northern California with those community colleges and help provide coverage when they have too many events going on for the size of their staff. And I think that that need is probably going to grow, especially with the change to the entry-level master's program for athletic trainers, because those interns and GA positions that might have filled those gaps aren't going to be there anymore.
All right. So as you're growing into Arizona, can all those people just put all their information in and then like a week later expect to have all the background check stuff done? Is that like, talk about the process of applying to AT Advantage.
So the process with onboarding with AT Advantage is, you put in your application, we reach out, we contact you. There's some interviews. We typically do video interviews just so we can see the athletic trainer, because we're not going to be working next to them every day. We don't know what they look like. Mm-hmm. We may not even meet them before they go out and work for us. So we like those video chat interviews. And once we decide we're going to go, we like the candidate, we want to move forward. Our next step is usually, if it's for a long-term contract position, to send them on a site visit. And we like to send 2 to 3 candidates per opening, just so that the site has their kind of pick of who they want on their site. And we want to make it a good fit for everyone. So they go on the site visit. We get feedback from the athletic trainer and the athletic director and the administrative staff and just see who's going to be the best fit for that specific position or contract. And once we figure out who's going to be placed in the contract, then they do onboarding through a platform called Shortlist. They upload some documents, sign some documents. They authorize a background check. Some districts do require fingerprinting and a TB test, so that would be something they would have to do if it is required. But typically, we can have a person ready to work in a week. And so when we do have those per diem events, we work with a couple youth organizations for like rugby coverage, mm-hmm. and we can have someone ready to work in 2 to 3 days if we need to.
Very good. And I know it's part of the partnership with rugby. Y'all are recording injuries through like Safe Sports or something, like one of the injury tracking softwares. And what are some of the stuff that y'all have seen from that?
So we've seen a lot of good things from rugby. They are willing to let us use some of their data for injury tracking. The rugby organization that we work with actually follows up with injuries. So the athletic trainers see them on site and then they follow up. So we get to see a good portion of what's going on with that. A lot of concussions or suspected concussions, not necessarily always a diagnosed concussion. And USA Rugby has really strict concussion rules, which are 2 weeks out, even if it's a suspected concussion. So it's interesting to kind of go through that return to play with them. There are actually a few fractures in rugby. I'm sure you're not surprised.
Yeah.
But we have found that when we've seen a trend in some things and gotten feedback from our athletic trainers, we go to the organization and say, hey, we don't think they're teaching the safe tackling techniques that they should be teaching. And the rugby organization is willing to go to the coaches and say, hey, this has got to change at your next practice. This is what you're going to go over. And we have seen some decreases when we've done things like that.
That's so cool. Like here, where I live is in South Texas. And so it's a largely Hispanic. So there's a large soccer population. So every park has got some weekend soccer team, league, something or other. And none of them have medical care, because I see them on, you know, Monday, because they've been playing all day, Saturday and Sunday. And I just wish that we were able to do that same thing that you guys are doing with rugby, you know, there. And again, it's part of, like you said, it's USA Rugby, so they're highly regulated and controlled. But part of that is because of the work you guys are doing. So that's so cool that you're continuing to show the value of athletic training there to them. You're showing data. You're improving those athletes. Next time they see an athletic trainer, they know, okay, well, this person has an idea. They're looking out for me. So in general, it's a lot of work that you guys are doing. But it's to, again, like Alicia said earlier, raise the whole sea raise all the boats in the sea instead of just one, something like that. But just bringing the whole profession up. So any other thoughts about AT Vantage? Somebody wants to get a hold of you specifically maybe, or is it just go to the website?
You can go to the website. We have a few, like a contact us on the website, theadvantage.com. And then Alicia will get emails to me directly, or just send the ones that I'm supposed to answer to me. Or if you're interested in applying, you can go to theadvantage.com and under jobs, you can find the regions that we're in and the position or the contracts that we have open.
All right, very good. Again, Maurice here, videotaping or live streaming us. So appreciate you being here. Pleasure to actually meet you in person. Jeremy Jackson, Sports Medicine Broadcast. We're here live at NATA, the Dragonfly Max Podcast Lounge. And again, thanks for Hoist for giving us some water, Frio Hydration for getting us some coolers and some other good stuff there. So Jenny, a pleasure to meet you. And thanks for being on the podcast.
Thanks, Jeremy.